Page 118. Fear of the country. Tension is rapidly growing between the black and white people when David Lurie, a middle-aged white man, decides to go stay with his grown-up daughter, Lucy. Lucy owns a farm in an isolated area in the Eastern Cape and lives alone with her watchdogs and a man that occasionally helps her out.
Three men are coming toward them on the pass, or two men and a boy. They are walking fast with countrymen's long strides. The dog at Lucy's side slows down, bristles. Should we be nervous? He murmurs. I don't know. She shortens the Doberman's leashes. The men are upon them. A nod, a greeting, and they have passed. Who are they? He asks. I never laid eyes on them before. They reach the plantation boundary and turn back. The strangers are out of sight. As they near the house, they hear the caged dogs in an uproar. Lucy quickens her pace. The three are there, waiting for them. The two men stand at a remove while the boy, beside the cages, hisses at the dogs and makes sudden, threatening gestures. The dogs, in a rage, bark and snap. The dog at Lucy's side tries to tug loose. Even the old bulldog Beach, whom he seems to have adopted as his own, is growling softly. Petrus! Calls Lucy. But there is no sign of Petrus. Get away from the dogs, she shouts. Hamba! The boy saunters off and rejoins his companions. He has a flat, expressionless face and peakish eyes. He wears a flowered shirt, baggy trousers, a little yellow sun hat. His companions are both in overalls. The taller of them is handsome, strikingly handsome, with a high forehead, sculpted cheekbones, wide, flaring nostrils. At Lucy's approach, the dogs calm down. She opens the third cage and releases the two Dobermans into it. A brave gesture, he thinks to himself. But is it wise? To the men, she says, what do you want? The young one speaks, we must telephone. Why must you telephone? His sister, he gestures vaguely behind him, is having an accident. An accident? Yes, very bad. What kind of accident? A baby. His sister is having a baby? Yes. Where are you from? From Erasmus Kraal. He and Lucy exchange glances. Erasmus Kraal, inside the forestry concession, is a hamlet with no electricity, no telephone. The story makes sense. Why didn't you phone from the forestry station? Is no one there? Stay out here, Lucy murmurs to him, and then to the boy. Who is it who wants to telephone? He indicates the tall, handsome man. Come in, she says. She unlocks the back door and enters. The tall man follows. After a moment, the second man pushes past him and enters the house too. Something is wrong. He knows at once. Lucy, come out here! He calls, unsure for the moment whether to follow or wait where he can keep an eye on the boy. From the house there is silence. Lucy, he calls again, and is about to go in when the door latch clicks shut. Petrus, he shouts as loudly as he can. The boy turns and sprints, heading for the front door. He lets go the bulldog's leash. Get him, he shouts. The dog trots heavily after the boy. In front of the house, he catches up with them. The boy has picked up a beanstalk and is using it to keep the dog at bay. Shoo! 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 He pants, thrusting with a stick. Growling softly, the dog circles left and right. Abandoning them, he rushes back to the kitchen door. The bottom leaf is not bolted. A few heavy kicks and it swings open. On all fours, he creeps into the kitchen. A blow catches him on the crown of the head. He has time to think, if I am still conscious, then I am all right. before his limbs turn to water and he crumples. He is aware of being dragged across the kitchen floor. Then he blacks out. He's lying face down on cold tiles. He tries to stand up, but his legs are somehow blocked from moving. He closes his eyes again. He's in the lavatory of Lucy's house. Dizzily, he gets to his feet. The door is locked. The key is gone. He sits down on the toilet seat and tries to recover. The house is still. The dogs are barking, but more in duty, it seems, than in frenzy. "Lucy!" he croaks, and then louder, "Lucy!" He tries to kick at the door, but he is not himself. And the space too cramped anyway. The door too old and solid. So it has come. The day of testing. Without warning, without fanfare, it is here. And he is in the middle of it. In his chest, his heart hammers so hard that it too, in its dumb way, must know. How will they stand up to the testing, he and his heart? His child is in the hands of strangers. In a minute, in an hour, it will be too late. Whatever is happening to her will be set in stone, will belong to the past. But now it is not too late. Now he must do something. Though he strains to hear, he can make out no sound from the house. Yet if his child were calling, however mutely, surely he would hear. He batters the door. "Lucy!" he shouts. "Lucy! Speak to me!" The door opens, knocking him off balance. Before him stands the second man, the shorter one, holding an empty 1 liter bottle by the neck. "The keys," says the man. "No!" The man gives him a push. He stumbles back, sits down heavily. The man raises the bottle. His face is placid, without trace of anger. It is merely a job he is doing, getting someone to hand over an article. If it entails hitting him with a bottle, he will hit him. Hit him as many times as is necessary. If necessary, break the bottle too. "Take them," he says. "Take everything. Just leave my daughter alone." Without a word, the man takes the keys, locks him in again. He shivers. A dangerous trio. Why did he not recognize it in time? But they are not harming him, not yet. Is it possible that what the house has to offer will be enough for them? Is it possible they will leave Lucy unharmed too? From behind the house comes the sound of voices. The barking of the dogs grows louder again, more excited. He stands on the toilet seat and peers through the bars of the window. Carrying Lucy's rifle and a bulging garbage bag, the second man is just disappearing around the corner of the house. A car door slams. He recognizes the sound, his car. The man reappears empty-handed. For a moment, the two of them look straight into each other's eyes. "Hi!" says the man, and smiles grimly and calls out some words. There is a burst of laughter. A moment later, the boy joins him, and they stand beneath the window, inspecting their prisoner, discussing his fate. He speaks Italian, he speaks French, but Italian and French will not save him here in darkest Africa. He is helpless, and Aunt Sally, a figure from a cartoon, a missionary in cassock and topi, waiting with clasped hands and upcast eyes while the savages jaw away in their own lingo, preparatory to plunging him into their boiling cauldron. Mission work. What has it left behind, that huge enterprise of upliftment? Nothing that he can see. Now the tall man appears from around the front, carrying the rifle. With practiced ease, he brings a cartridge up into the breech, thrusts the muzzle into the dog's cage. The biggest of the German shepherds, slavering with rage, snaps at it. There is a heavy report. Blood and brains splatter the cage. For a moment, the barking ceases. The man fires twice more. One dog shot through the chest dies at once. Another, with a gaping throat wound, sits down heavily, flattens its ears, following with its gaze the movements of this being who does not even bother to administer a coup de grace. A hush falls. The remaining three dogs, with nowhere to hide, retreat to the back of the pen, milling about, whining softly. Taking his time between shots, the man picks them off. Footfalls along the passage, and the door to the toilet swings open again. The second man stands before him. Behind him, he glimpses the boy in the flowered shirt, eating from a tub of ice cream. He tries to shoulder his way out, gets past the man, then falls heavily. Some kind of trip. They must practice it in soccer. As he lies sprawled, he is splashed from head to foot with liquid. His eyes burn. He tries to wipe them. He recognizes the smell, methylated spirits. Struggling to get up, he is pushed back into the lavatory, the scrape of a match, and at once he is bathed in cool, blue flame. So he was wrong. He and his daughter are not being let off lightly after all. He can burn. He can die. And if he can die, then so can Lucy. Above all, Lucy.